What's up? This Bacon is my podcast. I'm Jimmy.
I am Mike.
And we are proud to be part of the Deluxe Edition Network. That is right, The Den.
That's right. Hashtag The Den. We are part of an awesome network with a number of fantastic podcasts, such as History I'd Like to Fuck, mm-hmm. or Hilf Podcast, Barrel Age Chicks, Barrel Age Flicks,
yeah.
Spoil My Movie, Deluxe Edition Podcast. Man, I could go on forever.
You could, but we won't, so you can go
Beard
watch.
Laws.
Go listen, go watch, check them all out now.
In
Deluxe
a pickle.
Deluxe Edition Network.
Right now, deluxeeditionnetwork.com. Follow it on social medias, Deluxe Edition Network.
What's your bacon?
Hey. It's me. I'm the problem, it's me.
I don't think you're the problem. You know what the problem is? Nobody knows where to find us online. That's the problem.
Well,
they're
I think there's...
Sometimes I go to YouTube. Sometimes I want to go to Spotify. Sometimes. How do I know where I can find everything bacon?
You know what there is? There's one place that has everything, all-encompassing. It's baconismypodcast.com.
A solution!
Exactly! You ever want to listen to our music?
Yeah.
Or know where to find us on YouTube?
Yeah.
Or on Apple Music?
Yeah.
Spotify?
Yes.
Maybe grab some shirts.
Check
find
out
some
sponsor.
Find some sweet deals mm-hmm. on some sodas from drinkwildbills.com, or maybe some beard product from Mythical Beards.
Maybe you want to pick up a Poddex.
Use the promo code BACON on all of those websites and get 10% off. But if you can't remember that, just go to baconismypodcast.com, hit sponsors. You're right there.
Yeah.
Tells you everything.
Find everything about us, leave us a comment, ask us a question, and always remember to ask yourselves every single day.
What's your bacon?
What's your bacon?
So I was down in the Carolinas for my brother-in-law-to-be's bachelor party, because my sister and he lived in Charlotte at the time. And if there's one thing my sister hates, it's mustard.
Oh.
And we found ourselves... Because, you know, he's a very low-key kind of guy. So we went to a bar. We had a couple of drinks. And then we were like, dude, what do you want to do? And he's like, I don't know. I want like, steak. And I was like, okay. So let's go just buy just a crap load of meat at Harris Teeter, which is their local store.
Teeter.
That's the one with the Billie Jean
freezer. Oh, yeah, the Billie Jean freezer. Okay.
Yeah. We just bought like probably about $230 worth of meat.
Dang. Crap load.
And they had this tiny apartment, and they had a grill, that an electric grill, which was about that big.
Oh.
And that's what we did. But while I was there, I was like, I'm going to leave something for my sister. And I bought 12 mustard bottles. And I hid them throughout that. Like, she hates it that much that she doesn't allow it in the house.
Yes. Wow.
Fantastic.
And I hid them.
I didn't know this about
all
her.
All over the
and
apartment.
And now I do, and that's mm-hmm. fantastic.
Yeah. Hid them all over the apartment. All over. And she was so mad for so long. And I was like, so what's your tally at? What's your tally at? For this was going on past, like, for more than a year. And she's like,
oh, my God.
11. 11. I was like, you're missing one. She's like, where is it?
No way.
Where is it? She got so we met at a we ended
how many
up,
were there for real?
12.
Okay.
No, there
I
was
thought,
actually
you were like you did 11 and then you were like, you're missing one and just let
I could
her
have,
live with
I
it.
I could have done that. I could have done that, but she still hadn't found it. So
right.
It was great. So we end up going to a wedding in Colorado. And I had just actually also just found out that Jen, my wife, was pregnant with my second child. And she was so upset with me that I would not tell her where it was. That she would not talk to me the whole first night of the trip. She's like, if you don't tell me, I'm not talking to you.
That's incredible.
And I said, well, I have a bit of news to tell you that's not mustard related. But if you don't want to talk, that's fine.
Oh.
Immediately did the flip. And then she got married. And a few months later, and so it was like about, probably close to 18 months, I get a text. I found it, you idiot.
She used idiot too.
Yeah. she's not one for colorful language.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's good. I hid it in a winter boot.
Nice.
Because when you live in Charlotte, you don't need winter boots. So,
yep.
Dude.
Yeah.
Bacon! Bacon is my podcast! Bacon! Bacon! Bacon is my... Bacon! Bacon is my podcast! Bacon!
Welcome to Bacon is My Podcast. Yes. Natalie Maybe from Chicago is with us today. We're talking about hiding mustard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you missed What's Your Bacon in 7 Questions.
Why would you have?
We had Ian tell us that. Yeah. I used to put sauce packets on my coworker's keyboard.
Yeah, we love work pranks.
That is a fantastic.
And band pranks and pranks of all kinds.
That's a fantastic prank because I used to do that with packets of that, and I also used to do it with a penny.
Oh, nice!
Oh my god!
The penny infuriated him. Mm. Infuriated. If you're really looking to get a rise out of somebody, do a penny.
Okay. My old drummer, his girlfriend is full on OCD, but she's OCD at the level where she jokes about it, so you can joke with her about it. So I felt comfortable using the knowledge to my advantage, and they would have. They would have parties at their house. And when they had parties at their house, she would make sure that she knew how many beer bottles and beer caps. She had to make sure all of them were accounted for. So she would literally she would go through things to find all the caps and stuff. So I would take caps and I would put them on the top of her ceiling fan.
That's really good.
This is exactly the spirit of this.
Yeah, and she would get so mad because she wouldn't find them, and that would bother her. And just when she would start to kind of get past it, she'd clean, and she'd dust off the top, and a shower of caps would come down.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. But guys, thank you for joining us.
And she still doesn't know it was me, unless now she sees this.
Now she does.
Yeah. Which is great.
So before we really get into everything, let everybody know who you are and what you do.
Yes, one more time.
Okay, my name's Ian Harsh. I play guitar and I write a lot of the instrumental stuff, the music stuff.
I'm Courtney and I'm the singer and the writer.
I'm Sawyer. I'm the bass player and a little bit of the prod work.
I really love that you guys have those roles within the band.
Yeah, very defined roles.
It's really interesting that you guys have that. But yeah, if you guys haven't checked their music out, Are We Having Fun Yet? That's kind of the definitive single, if you will.
Well, great video, great single. It's a good gateway.
And then their brand new single, I Don't Sleep at Night, is also great. A little bit of a different vibe. I want to talk to you a little bit about that different vibe because I know that you guys are planning on putting out an EP pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got other vibes kind of happening there. So yes. tell us a little bit about the new EP and when that's dropping.
The new EP should drop in April. We're shooting for April 12th, but TBD on that because our producer is abroad on tour playing massive festivals and just having a time. So
what a jerk.
I know.
Yeah.
Yes.
He plays with All Time Low and they're out in Brazil and doing a bunch of stuff. So whenever he can get back to it. But the EP is going to be a little bit crazy. It's very in the definitely maybe way, which is that we don't really put ourselves in a box. So every single song on the EP sounds completely different, but it's all us. So I Don't Sleep at Night has more of that spooky, dark emo vibe. We've got a song that's not announced and not released yet called Underscore. That's more of a classic pop punk. We used Neck Deep and All Time Low as the inspiration. Nice. And then we have a song called Nevermind, which is probably the least punk, most ballad singer-songwriter-y type song that we have. So super different. And then Are We Having Fun Yet? And One More Night will also be on there. And we may drop a little reimagined or acoustic One More Night on that as well. So a bunch of different stuff on that EP.
That's nice. Awesome. And I know that you guys worked in two different studios for this EP. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned in a past interview, actually, I think it was Ian, talking about how you guys normally do just everything DI. You guys use plugins and, or, you know, I don't know if you guys are like Helix or quad users or whatever. But you went into a studio and they gave you like real amps to use and stuff like that. So what was the vibe like with that? How were you like really excited? Cause I remember the first time I went into a studio and I had like a Mesa, you know, a triple rack or whatever right. It was. And he was like, yeah, we're not going to use that. We'll take a look at these. And I was like, oh, and there were like 100 different amps. And he's like, just play a chord on it. Oh, it's not right. Please switch it out. Was it awesome? Was like an awesome experience for you to just have kind of like a field day with sounds and playing that way?
I had to leave Ian alone in the live room for a bit to get some stuff out. And they were very excited. I don't know anything about that. But we did get to track live drums, and I do come from a drumming background, so that was sick. We had never done live drums before. It had always just been programmed. But talk about your fun times with John Mayer's amp.
Dude, for me, that was a total field day. The last time that I had recorded through like real instruments and stuff in a studio comparable to that was before I really started playing guitar. And ironically, I actually recorded drums, which is one of the instruments I least play. And it was just such a wild experience. I mean, it's Steve Lukather's studio. And I don't know, the whole time we were there, we just kept finding out more and more stories about this place. And apparently they've got some guy, some just like rich dude that like he literally keeps all of his money like in his mattress or something, but he buys vintage gear left and right. He's a big time collector of all this stuff, and just lets the studio use any of it that they want. And so like it's almost like I was given like a dream shopping list.
Anything amazing,
to use was right there. And which is great, except also we only had one day to do it. So we,
stick with it.
What was the one amp you kept saying the name of? And I had to put a tax on it. I was like, if you say Two Rock one more time, I'm charging you $10 for every time you say it.
Yeah. So that was, I don't know. It really, really was. I have a very interesting.
Was that the John Mayer one that I caught you with in the live room?
Yeah. My pants were on, like my pants stayed on. It wasn't that
way. I don't believe you. Go on.
But, I mean, I have some stuff.
Hey, I thought that's how everybody recorded.
Right.
All part of the process.
I'm sure it's been done before in that room.
I built a studio in my house.
Right. So that's why the studio's in the garage.
Right.
See, that's the smart thing to do. But yes, I mean, that was... I was a trumpet player before I was a guitar player, and did all like jazz stuff. And like one of the top things that I got to do while I was there was play Frank Sinatra's piano.
Wow.
At the studio in LA.
Yeah.
Not when you were in jazz band.
No, like, at the studio. And so that was huge for me. I got to track a part for One More Night, and I think we did a little bit for the choruses of Are We Having Fun Yet? But then, like one of the coolest things was using one of the prototype John Mayer signature Two Rocks that he would have toured with while they were, figuring out his signature amp. And like it's signed by him and everything. And that was just insane. I used that for the solo on One More Night, which is funny because it's like not at all like how John would have used it, but it was great.
My boy John.
Didn't you play one of his guitars in Nashville?
Yeah, which is odd. Like that was one of the weird things for me too. Is with the other stuff on the EP we recorded down in Nashville with Dan. He happened to be in the same house as David Ryan Harris, who has been playing with John Mayer. Which, by the way, that's a like huge hero, like my guitar hero. The guy that
figured it out by now. Like I thought.
That's
like he hates John Mayer. I don't know. He's very good.
Yeah, and David Ryan Harris has been playing with John Mayer for basically as long as John Mayer's been playing, and so you know, the Les Paul that we recorded with from there was given to Dan from David Ryan. And then, you know, I got to use an acoustic, an old Martin that turns out used to be John Mayer's. So it's crazy that I got to use gear that used to belong to like my hero at both of these sessions. It was very like, which is funny because like if we get to talk about like where we were at when we wrote Are We Having Fun Yet, for me it was insane to like get that experience out of both of these things. Like, yeah, maybe that's a good segue to just talk about that, because like Are We Having Fun Yet is a very real kind of picture of where we were at when we wrote it at the time, which is like, is this, are we doing the right thing? Like, is it time to hang it up? Is this, you know, we were really kind of going through it. And so like we had already booked the deposits for both of these experiences, like both the mm-hmm. studio in LA and recording with Dan in Nashville.
Non-refundable deposits.
Right.
Well, and so
me to get there in both instances and have like that experience was insane. It's like, okay, all right, let's keep going.
Something's
right here. Having fun.
Yeah.
Having fun.
We're having fun now. We definitely were not. He was excited about John Mayer and David Ryan Harris. Meanwhile, I'm nerding out because also in the house in Nashville is Dave Hodges, founding member of Evanescence.
Yeah.
And I see the Bring Me to Life Grammys on the little front entryway. And I was like, I need to leave. Mm-hmm. He said one thing to me. He said, hey, just so you know, we're getting a piano delivered today. They'll be here in 5. I said, okay. And then he left and I cried.
Yeah.
It's funny you brought up Evanescence. I actually yesterday was given a video of Goopy singing Bring Me to Life.
Oh God.
Let's go.
It's too much. Sawyer loves those. I hate
them. Okay. It is.
Okay.
It's hard to watch.
Yeah.
Why did you not send that to me? Because that is something I would very much enjoy to see.
Well,
we should do a Family Guy style cut to the full song now.
Right. And I like that. And we're back. Wasn't that hilarious? Wow. Mike and I,
we karaoke'd it.
We karaoke'd that at a,
the big picture 15-year anniversary
PR company Christmas event.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And they were like, we're doing rock and emo karaoke with a live band.
Yeah.
They're like, we'll do this.
Oh my God.
Epic. We'll do Evanescence.
Fuck yeah. I need video of that.
How did
the
band do?
The band was pretty good. The
band was solid.
Yeah. They were very good. Yeah.
That's sick.
All killer, no filler.
Yeah.
Shout out to those guys.
That was the band name. Yeah. All killer, no filler.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. We did it. We were up there.
We definitely were up there.
I think there is video. There might be video on the Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what we tell bands when they come off stage and they ask us if we like their show and we didn't. We go,
you were up there.
We go, you were up there. Yeah. I saw you. I doing your thing. You were up there doing your thing. Like great that. Jacket. I love the jacket.
You looked real good.
Wow.
You were up there.
Man. Yes.
Your hair was awesome.
Right.
Awesome hair tonight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so Sawyer, you're kind of on the production side of things. I'm just curious as to like, because for my band stuff, I've been on the production side of things myself, and you know, you had your drummer who was at one time like the forefront of the production side.
Yeah, I'm not. Right.
So being on the production side of things, and then going, all right, we're gonna go bigger here. Was that like an adjustment period for you at all? Or were you just like, no, I'm psyched, let's go?
Oh yeah, I love collaborating. I'm never good with whatever I end up with. So I love handing it off to people that can make it better.
See, I'm of that mindset too. I know that like your experience was, he was like, no. I'm going to do this on my own and I will give it to him, but he could do it under my parameters.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
No, Sawyer, I mean, the very first song that we had produced, Wham by Landon Conrath, like Landon changed that so much. And Courtney and I both were like, I don't know. Like Sawyer was the first one to go, no, this is great.
Well, so in the history of Definitely Maybe, we have never released a self-produced track. We take it as far as we can. And then it's just part of our DNA to network and collaborate. And so we've worked with so many different incredible producers over the 2 years or whatever that we've been a band. And that's just kind of our thing. Like we know it's us and it's our song, but then we know there are people who have been doing it forever and are incredible and are legends, or they're new and fresh and have something to contribute that we could never, because like our roles, like you said, are so clearly defined. We know where we fall short, and we find people that we love their sound and we could never get that without them. And then we work with them. So we're not really like, I mean, it could be fun to self-produce, but it's just not something that we are super interested in, at least in this stage of our band's life. So we love digging into the credits, figuring out who's making what that sounds like this and who's working with our favorite artists, and reaching out to them and working with them. So yeah, I mean, we're obsessed with it. Ian and I definitely struggle with the demo-itis a little more than Sawyer, which is ironic because he's the one that probably shapes the final sound the most, but we're definitely better now.
Yeah, when all of these experiences too, like it's been easier to get like to not let that affect me, you mm-hmm. know, as much, like the more we do it. But it's also like I've been playing guitar for 8 or 9 years maybe, and I'm self-taught, and I'm still learning new things about it like every day. And like Sawyer has picked up production in like record time, and we both nerd out about our pieces of it. And so like I think both of us have learned mm-hmm. so much from all of this that like the, you know, every single session impacts every single thing that we write, and you know mm-hmm. going forward, like it's been an awesome experience.
It's like a crash course. We've recorded in Minneapolis, Baltimore, Florida, Orlando, Nashville, and LA. So it's been
That's awesome. I think that's so smart. I think like, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Like one, you get to learn so much from so many different people. Like you never stop learning and you never stop growing as an artist. So it's taking pieces from everybody that you admire, and getting to work with people you admire, and having someone that's done more than you that can push you. You know what I mean? Like I always want to be the dumbest one in any situation I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You know, yeah. So that I can try to work up to something. So I think that's like a super smart way to go. And you set yourself up to have those like
excited about something. You know, like if there's one piece I'm like super pumped, that's the only time that I struggle. It's like, but I don't want to let that go because it's like that.
Sure, right, right.
Other than that, absolutely. Like, dumbest person in the room always.
What's up, buddy?
Ew. I know it's cold.
Indeed.
So you want to get the sweaters going.
No. I reject that. And I'll tell you why.
Why would you do that?
Well, you don't put gloves on furry hands, do you?
Well, no.
No, you don't. So you know what? I like to keep my beanbag clean like my palms.
Yes.
That's right.
The Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra is out now. It's got the skin safe technology you used to. It's got the LED light like you used to. But this one, it's got the foil blade.
Oh my God, the foil blade. It's nice for the crevasse.
Exactly. So it, you know, hooks up your nether regions.
Goes right up the Mississippi on the one side and the Rio Grande on the other side.
Exactly. So go to manscaped.com, use the promo code BACONPOD for 20% off, plus free shipping.
Yeah, indeed.
And it's not even just for this, right?
No, it's for anything on there.
Exactly, especially...
Our favorite,
the crop mops, the ball and butt wipes. If you see us, we always give them out.
We'll hand them to you.
Exactly.
They'll
but
be in the package, it's okay.
If you don't see us, manscaped.com, promo code BACONPOD, 20% off of those bad boys.
Free shipping.
Mm-hmm. And always remember to ask yourself...
What's your bacon?
Join hosts Dave Houghton and Sarah Ray Pallett as they examine the less glamorous side of sports with their podcast, In a Pickle. Follow IAP Radio on social media by going to iapradio.com. In a Pickle is now part of the Den Network. For more information, go to iapradio.com.
Well, and you can always bring that to him, too. You go, I'm super excited about this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe we keep it. You know, but it's great to be able to have someone not only help you shape it, but also to tell you when you're doing something right, to tell you that you did something awesome, to be like, oh, I love that idea.
Yeah.
Which then you get to feel like, oh, fuck. Okay, cool. I do know. Okay. Yeah.
That's it for me.
That was a big time struggle for Court though early on. Like if we like, I remember when we worked with Matt Squire and she was like, "Why isn't he changed?" Like there, so much of it like stayed, and Matt added so much as well. But like I remember, like she's like, "Did he like? Why isn't he changed? Does he not care about it? Is it?" You know, it was hard to accept, like, oh, no,
right, yeah,
that's what we've done. And he's keeping.
Well, and you know, that's the validation piece of working with someone else, too, that's been around and has also worked with a lot of people. They're like, their compliments carry more weight because I'm like, I know who this guy's been in the studio with. He's worked with so many of my favorite people. And so everything he said was just immediately permanently etched into my brain.
Well, and they're not going to bullshit you because their name's on it, too.
Uh-huh. Right? Yeah,
absolutely.
You know? Yeah. Like if their name's not on it, sure, they can good game you, you know. But if their name's gonna be on it, you know that like you can that carries weight, and you're like, okay, cool, you do like it,
yeah,
awesome. Mm-hmm. Or if they don't like it, it helps you kind of like, because sometimes even I know sometimes you can let somebody hear something, and you can tell that they're just looking for a place to put 2 cents in.
Yeah.
Whether they like it or don't like it, or they you know, sometimes you get those people that just, they need to have a say, you know? Yep. And it's like, all right, well, is this helping? Or is this just like, you're just needing to critique?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when you've got somebody that you're like, that's adding their name to your thing, and that you're paying them for a service, and they're going to be associated with it, then it's a little easier to take the criticism as well, because you also kind of like, well, you're obviously trying to get the best out of this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's the music business. You got to have a thick ass skin to begin with. So,
right. It's also just, I think one of the, like that dynamic is a little bit different too, because when you're signing up to work with a producer, you're literally inviting that. And like, not always when you show somebody a song, are you like, yeah, give me every bit of. You're just excited to like, yeah, this is the new song, you know?
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. Oh, you're gonna shit on it. Okay.
Yeah. It's the best when you show someone the final master and they're like, yeah, I have some notes if that's what you're looking for, and you're like, oh, not right, it's done.
No, not now.
Yeah,
we've been talking about that a lot actually recently on this show. Like, we have that core group of people where we go, okay, we'll bring this to them at this point.
Right.
Yes.
At this point.
Yeah.
Because I've sent somebody something that's completely done, and they're like, all right, cool. So just change this part up just a bit. And it's like, no, this is mastered. This is done.
Right.
This is off.
Like, I sent you this to listen to because it's gonna be released.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we've talked about that at great length.
Yeah.
Something else actually we talk about quite a bit, and I kind of waver a little bit in terms of it, and it was brought up in a past interview that you guys did, Courtney, what you normally write about, it's been well documented. You've done a ton of interviews, you know, everybody kind of knows it, and if you don't, go read about what it is.
Happy sounding sad songs, guys. Right. Some personal deep shit.
Right.
Yeah.
And but from what I've heard, you're going to kind of, with this new batch of songs, you've kind of made it a little bit more ambiguous and stuff. Was that more of a choice, or is that something that just kind of happened?
Both, I think. I remember sitting in the studio with Dan Swank in Nashville and trying to write a song about a toxic relationship when I married the first guy that I ever dated and have been happy and have broken up with someone. So I'm like, you know, I've never written about like from a different perspective, or like, cause I feel like maybe I don't own that perspective. So it was a bit of a struggle to try to branch out of my own experience. And so I think the EP does a really good job of meeting somewhere in a space where these songs are so unbelievably specific and personal to me, but so broadly relatable somehow. And so I think that was a product of working with these awesome writers and producers. I think it's also just part of our maturity as like a band and how we write. I think we've improved so much. It's less words, less specifics, less trying too hard, and more just like, let's get to the core of it. What's the meat of it? What's the big idea here? And I just think generally humans struggle with a lot of the same things. And so people relate and they also project. And so something that made me happy that I didn't know until we did an interview like a couple weeks ago was Ian said that, you know, he's loved being a part of the band because the music means something more than just being like a bedroom hobby. And, but he hasn't really struggled with the same things I've struggled with or experienced. And so he doesn't relate at like a granular level to the music until this EP, and specifically, Are We Having Fun Yet? And I don't want to speak on your behalf, but he said something like, it was the first song where I felt like, this is our song, our collective experience. Like, I can totally relate to this. And I think other people can too, which made me really happy. So I feel like the EP is such a good reflection of how far we've come with the message that we want to send, I guess, if there's anything you want to add.
Yeah, I mean, music is like a second language to me, and I respond to that just as much as I respond to lyrics, if not more sometimes. I mean, it just depends. And so I've never felt the need to, like, I've never been bummed out, like, oh man, I don't, you know, I don't really relate to whatever. Like, it's been a genuine joy to like be able to, you know, be a part of like elevating Courtney's story in ways that relate to other people and all that kind of stuff. It's been a really great experience. But but yeah, especially this EP, like, Are We Having Fun Yet was absolutely one of those where I'm like, oh, this can be for me too. And then there's another one, one of the unreleased ones on the EP as well that I like really, I like, yeah, it's like,
what's
really,
it called?
Oh, never mind. one of those songs to me that like, I don't care who you are, you can relate to it. And like the music and the message, it just like,
especially it being an election year. It's a song about arguing.
Yeah.
And when it's just like not worth it and you're just talking in circles and it's like so exhausting.
And everyone's been in that
place. Pretty universal.
Yeah.
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 It's about to happen a lot at a lot of across the US.
And it really pulls you, know? And like, I love that. My favorite songs ever have both. They pull at me lyrically and musically. And that is absolutely one of those songs to me. And yeah, I like I said, I don't need both, but it's been really, really great to have it.
It's finally like they've met at the right spot. So yeah, you have the lyrics and the message and you have the music. And I think we were kind of like rubbing with making sure the song said what I wanted it to say and making sure it sounded as good as it can. And I feel like the EP, they like perfectly aligned.
I think there's value in both too. Like One More Night is still sort of a really specific story. But for those who have that specific story as part of their story, it's meant the world, which is amazing to see. Like that is
The comments. One thing I was going to bring up about that too is I can see where you're coming from because you're in the band and you're super close to everything. And I also like one of the questions that I was going to ask you, Courtney, because as a writer, I never tell anybody what my songs are about. They are deeply personal and they're always coming from a place of experience or something that I felt or something that and I like allowing. I don't know if it's more that I like it or maybe I'm afraid of the alternative or whatever. I'm sure there's a lot of everything going on, but I've always kind of liked that idea that like, hey, you don't have to know my story if you have your own. And I don't want my story to stop you from having your own with this.
Yeah.
And I will say like your guys' music coming from a listener perspective, because I'm not as close to it and I'm not in the band and I didn't listen to interviews first and I didn't go to the website first and read what One More Night's about or any of that kind of stuff, which everybody should. And again, we're not going to get into all that here unless you guys want to, but they've told it a bunch of times. They've said it a bunch of times. But it's valuable to go check out. It's definitely valuable to go check out. But hearing the song, I still got a lot out of it, and I pointed it towards my own experience, which I think is the idea of songwriting in general. Once I did go and see that you've spoken about it and you've written about it and you've been interviewed about it and all these different things about your personal experiences, I thought that was like one, like courageous and brave to do that. And I was just like, oh shit. Like, okay. She's just like, all right, here it is. Here's what this means and why I wrote it. And here's a piece of me that I didn't have to give you. And I decided to, so was that ever a thought to you, or was it just kind of like the natural, like, well, I want people to connect with me on this level here. Because it's a pretty important song, and it is really well done. And it is going to reach you whether you know the story or whether you don't know the story. It's just gonna. So for you, was it important for you to kind of like, hey, this is what this is about, and this is what I was going through at the time? Or did that just kind of like happen? Did it just like kind of come out of you the same way songwriting does?
Mm-hmm. I do think it's sort of imprinted on definitely maybe DNA and my own personal DNA, I suppose. But it comes from a very specific place. And early on in the band, I would try to tell my story from stage, and I would just feel kind of like a bumbling buffoon. Like I was rambling and I was talking about myself, and it was like weird and people don't do this at shows. But without fail, after every single time I went up there and opened up and was vulnerable, one person at least came up to me and thanked me for what I shared and shared their experience and had something that related or a crazy coincidence or things like that. And that theme has continued every single time. I have yet to regret any time that I have been vulnerable on stage in a piece of content, which is great. And I know that there are people who can't say that. So we've been super lucky with the response online, especially with people just being really nice and really open. And I think that's a response to me being genuine and open, hopefully. Yeah. So we'll kind of reflect back what they receive. And I think for me personally, so for those who won't Google the story, I lost my sister to suicide, and it obviously had a great impact on my life. And I personally struggle with depression. I had some bad PTSD after that. I have clinical social anxiety, been in a lot of therapy, things like that. And the loss of my sister was this moment, sort of a line in the sand for me with this hush, hush, keeping secrets and not knowing what someone's really going through. I, at that point, had seen the cost of that, and it just wasn't worth it. And so that was a part of my story, growing up in a family where we kind of kept those things buried and hidden, and we saw the worst of that. And so I kind of had nothing else to lose at that point. And I was like, I never want someone to feel like there's something that's off limits, because there's so much shame in that. And I think if you can remove the shame, you can remove a lot of the darkness around it and the hopelessness around it. And so just after seeing the consequence of being secretive about these kinds of things, I have nothing to lose or, you know, gain. Well, I have nothing to lose and everything to gain from who can say it when someone else maybe doesn't think they can, or doesn't have the outlet, or doesn't have a trusted person. Like, I want to be the one who can say it if someone can't, because I will. And I know what happens if you don't. So, yeah. I guess that's my
rant. Pretty awesome. I mean, that's awesome. And thank you for doing that. You know what I mean? Like, that's super cool. And it's can't be an easy thing all the time, and it can't be an easy thing to talk about all the time. So it's do you ever feel a sense of responsibility at this point now, where you're kind of like, do you feel like you could write hey, this is a dumb, fun song about nothing?
Oh, so funny you bring that up. Honestly, probably will be really hard for me, but I know we will do it. I don't know. I think I feel responsible based on my circumstances, for sure. I also grew up very conservative Christian. And so responsibility and like ownership and thinking, you know, I'm the one that's going to be the change, like, that's deeply rooted. So
right
there. But
and something a healthy wrapping of guilt.
Yes. Oh, from a very young age.
Arguably an unhealthy wrapping of guilt.
Yeah, exactly.
No argument there.
Yeah. On the flip side of all the darkness, something my sister taught me before she decided to leave this world was having fun and the importance of something not being serious and the importance of letting things go. And so when you hear One More Night, you don't hear a sad song. It's like the saddest words, but it's like a happy song. And I think that's
happy sounding sad songs.
Exactly.
That's my specialty, by the way.
That's my move.
It's a good stark contrast, and it's very much like life, you know, to be cliche about it. So it's like, yes, I do feel responsible, and it is kind of hard for me to like write about nothing, but I don't think I ever even could. Like, it would seemingly be a fun song about nothing, but there'd probably be some layer that connects in some way. And for me, like, I find it so hard to have fun and let go, hence, are we having fun yet? And so, yeah, for me to write a song that was just pure fun, that would be something in and of itself of like a powerful statement for us. So we actually have
to. It's coming. What I did is I had our management take me to a strip club.
Oh, my God.
And get me wildly drunk. And I sat in a corner with a notebook.
Oh, my God.
And I wrote a song about nothing.
It's called Dirty Rock.
It's called Dirty Rock. You can find it on Spotify.
It's a banger. It's a banger.
But that's the only time I was able to do that.
Yeah. Well, there was also...
And then I was like, this song sucks. It's like, it's about bullshit.
Well, there was also that time that they were like, hey, we got a vampire movie, but let's write something about that.
Yeah, but then we got into the story.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. Once you can throw yourself in the story, it's then it sometimes can pull something else out of you. You know what I mean? But I still think it always kind of comes from, you know, even the strip club story it's a song about me being drunk at a strip club.
Right.
So it's still autobiographical in some ways. Yeah. It's like
just about
still about what a dumbass I am at the moment.
I'm getting pretty excited because it's almost time to grill.
It's always time to grill. You know why?
I know.
Because I use GrillYourAssOff.com. All their stuff is fucking fantastic.
Well, I will say you don't even have to grill outside, even though you do all year round. I don't all year round, but I use all their stuff inside as well.
Yes, exactly.
So I still get the flavors.
Exactly. Everything from their seasoning to their sauces to their hot sauces. And you know what? They also provide delicious snacks.
They do. We actually tried some on the show. We got some cowboy-style beef jerky right here. Their jerky is really, really good.
It's really flavorful, really delicious. And you can have your own if you go to grillyourassoff.com.
Indeed.
If you go to grillyourassoff.com, use a promo code BACON, and you get 10% off your entire order.
Nice.
And not only will you be helping us out, but you'll be helping out veterans and first responders, because this company is veteran owned and it's super badass, and we love these guys. Almost a day one sponsor with this show.
That's true.
And we are going to support them forever. Super
cool
guys.
Check out their site, check it out, taste the freedom. If you don't know what you want to get, go ahead and use their product finder quiz.
Yes.
Set yourself up, figure something out right now over at grillyourassoff.com.
And always remember to ask yourself,
what's your bacon?
What's your bacon?
Or what's on your bacon?
Bunker bacon bourbon barbecue sauce. Yeah. That's what's up.
What's up, fam?
Yeah.
Bacon listeners, ever wanted to help out the show? Ever wanted to know a little bit more about what goes on behind the scenes here at
perhaps,
Bacon?
Perhaps keep these glasses a little bit fuller.
Mine's empty.
Yeah. Go over to patreon.com/baconismypodcast where you can get additional content, including tastings.
Yeah, you can get cooking shows.
You can get early ad-free shows.
That's right.
And at even the lowest tier, come participate with us every week in our discussion and drinks episode where we hang out with you, our BIM squad.
You're a part of the show. Join us, hang out, weigh in on everything that we're talking about, weigh in on everything, maybe be a part of the show.
Exactly.
It's happened.
Join the BIM squad.
Yeah.
Get your first week for free over at patreon.com/baconismapodcast.
What's all bacon?
So on the lighter side of things, I do want to talk about Nintendo a little bit, because that's something that in my household is very deeply rooted within my children and my wife and I, and Yeah, she is famously intense when it comes to Mario Kart and Super Mario World.
Yeah.
Mario.
She is a shell hurler.
Like at the when we went to go see Super Mario Brothers, mm-hmm. the movie, her least favorite person in the world. And this is like politicians, actual real people, like literally everybody. Her least favorite person in the world is that fucking wizard guy in Super Mario World. So when he popped up, when he showed up in the movie, she let out this like this audible like, ah! That guy, like, oh, that fucking guy.
Yeah.
I forget what his name is.
That's great.
Kamek.
Yeah, yeah, hates him. But yeah, like, what? So we've actually talked about this. Have you ever settled any band disputes with Mario Kart? Because I think that's probably a smart move.
It's such a personal thing to me. I don't know if I would consider myself competitive in general. Okay, I guess I would. But like,
I'm looking for reactions and.
We
Sawyer left. He was like, I'm out.
I think
talking Mario Kart. She's gonna elbow me.
It's a healthy outlet because it truthfully is a game. It doesn't matter. Right. But we can kind of like be okay. What I'm saying. But then it does matter to me, and I like to be competitive about it. But it's like a low stakes scenario where we can like duke it out and like talk some trash and get some stuff off our chest, maybe. So we'll play Mario Kart. If we're like stuck in a session or if we just wrapped up a demo and we wanted to take a break, like it's a nice brain break, I think, for us. But yeah, I don't usually have to worry about losing though. So
I will say next time that you're in California,
you
should go to Super Mario World.
I know.
Universal. I just went 2 weeks ago.
Mm.
It's amazing.
Woo.
It is incredible. And the ride. The ride that you're on is Mario Kart, and you get to shoot turtle shells.
Oh, wow. Sick.
Yes.
And you're going through, and you have this visor on that's incredible, and everything's 3D, but you're still seeing the room that you're in, and it's crazy cool. And you can also walk up to blocks, and you punch underneath them, and they'll be like,
sick.
That is really cool.
That's cool. I want to take my nephews so bad. We're all obsessed with Mario right now.
Maybe we can go this summer.
You should. You should go. It's super fun. It's a small little area. It's smaller than I thought. I think the Florida one's going to be bigger, but
yes.
It's so cool looking. Like it's super. You walk in and you're just like, oh, like Prince Peach's castle's there, and you're just like, oh my god.
Yeah, that's my Disney World for sure.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I think we're holding out for Florida. We're gonna hold out for Florida. It opens, I think, in October. So.
Oh, nice.
And if anybody's a Star Wars or Marvel fan. Disney, you gotta go. Oh, both are incredible.
Dude, California Adventure.
I lost my mind.
Dude, my mom has been to Disney like every year for the past like 8 years now because she's like just through work, they do conferences down there.
Right.
I've only been to Disney once. And so all the Star Wars stuff was not there. And I am so jealous. Now both of my parents have gotten to see it before I'm like a huge Star Wars guy, so I cannot. Yeah.
My girlfriend was like, she goes there a lot because she's always touring and always over there and stuff. So she's been a few times, and she went on Rise of the Resistance and wouldn't tell me anything about it for a full year.
Good.
So that when we got to go, I got to go on it and experience it. Just mm-hmm. like, and it's the coolest thing. It's the coolest thing I've ever been on in my life.
That's awesome.
Dang.
And we don't know each other, but I've been on a lot of cool things.
I believe you 100%. I like even seeing photos of the Falcon from, you know, like,
oh my god.
Oh yeah.
I walked up and I just like, I immediately was 8 years old.
Mm.
Like I saw the Millennium Falcon and I was like, oh my god, the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
Are you also into Harry Potter?
We went to Harry Potter World too. Awesome. Yeah, although I almost threw up on the ride.
Oh, really?
It's a motion ride and a roller coaster, but you're going sideways and they're blowing cold air in your face.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, this is gonna stop.
That's a day ruiner right there.
It was a long time ago for me. I don't remember. I am prone to motion sickness. I don't remember that being an issue for me there, but yeah, I went back when it was still just a small thing at the Universal in Florida. And there's so much more to it now, so I'd love to go back and see that.
It's incredible. Yeah, it's super cool. Butterbeers is awesome.
It's so good.
It's so good. It's
so good.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. My daughter just got into Harry Potter. Yeah. So.
Aw. Yay.
So she's like hardcore. So that's why. But they were like, "Oh, let's go," and I was like, "Wait till Mario. Right. Wait till Mario. And then we can go."
I didn't buy a wand, but I followed a kid around with a wand so I could see all the stuff. Anytime I saw it,
creepy at all.
Well, I followed a number of children.
Still not less creepy.
Every time I saw a kid walk up to one of the little wand areas, I would like kind of sneak up and I'd be like, I just want to kind of see what's going on.
And they would wave it and then stuff
would happen.
I might have gone before that was a thing too. Like the wand thing where you can like
point
it and it unlocks things. Yeah. I don't think that was a thing yet.
In the airport, you could buy a wand for like $50.
Yeah.
Like we went to Disney and we were finished with the Disney trip. And my daughter, we went up and like the store is pretty dope in the Orlando airport. And you go upstairs and they have the whole like everything Harry Potter. And then they have this like wand shop. And she's like, can I get a wand? And I'm like, we just went to Disney. Your father has no money left. Yeah. No money left. Chill.
Oh my gosh.
He didn't go on Rise of the Resistance. I'm forever disappointed.
I went to the one in Florida.
We were there at the same time, and I was like, go on this ride. And he didn't go.
I can't imagine not wanting to go every possible chance.
Right?
Like, yeah. You're like, no, I don't need to see Star Wars again because I've already seen it.
You know what? I was with a crowd.
He was with like his whole family.
I was with my parents.
Me and my girlfriend tagged along with his family for the week, and then we
they kind of
we were like all right, have fun.
Had way less moving parts than I did.
We did, yeah.
That's fair.
That's a good way to put it.
We'll get that. Yeah.
But yeah, going back real quick to the Nintendo thing.
Yes.
So Dreamcast was kind of, I'm surprised that came up because that's. I remember Dreamcast getting panned GameCube. I remember that kind of getting panned a bit.
What like is that
back
even?
In the day?
What is panned?
Like
people, people were shitting on it. Yeah.
Oh, I fucking loved it. All my favorite games are on GameCube. I will say the Wii, I mean obviously the Wii is superior in every way, but like Luigi's Mansion on the GameCube, Double Dash is still the GOAT Mario Kart in my opinion. There's this Wario game I used to play all the time. Like just the games in that era were so good. Was GameCube the best system? Probably not, but the games are just some of my favorites. Maybe
Nintendo,
it's in my life, but
Nintendo does really well with like certain IP, like all the Mario stuff and all the Zelda stuff is just so good.
Yes. Yeah,
like it's so good.
Oh, Melee, that's GameCube too. I mean, come on, best Smash, all the best.
I've never heard of Melee.
See, I'm old enough to where N64 and GoldenEye
was the best thing ever.
And we kept a N64 up until like in the 2020s early, like still like. Getting it to work so that we could play GoldenEye. It was the only game we kept. It's like me and a buddy had it. We would do Friendsgiving in Brooklyn and Queens every year. And we would just put the N64 up and just play GoldenEye all day.
Yeah.
The safer bet would be PS2 if you're trying to still play GoldenEye, because a lot of those are still around and in great shape. But
yeah, those are good. And then
wait, GoldenEye was on PS2?
Yeah.
They did a release on it, yeah.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I didn't realize that.
I have one of the, what's it called? The, shit. I can't remember the name of it now. Raspberry Pi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of the emulator things?
Yeah, I have one of those, and that was fun. I brought that home for Christmas one year, and my brothers were there, and I was like, I've got 1,000 old games.
That's sweet.
You got to be careful with those, but like, because like anything after 16 bits, or like 32 bits.
Right.
everything is laggy and goes downhill.
It was just Mario World, and was every and Mario World and Ninja Turtles in Time was like the two that we just played nonstop.
Man, my favorites as a kid, because I didn't play a lot of video games growing up. I didn't get a console until I was 12. But my favorites were always on the N64. It was always Donkey Kong, Mario Kart, and Pod Racing.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And then PS2 were like the Tony Hawk Pro Skater and Underground.
And the soundtrack.
Absolutely.
Tony Hawk and Crazy Taxi, I think it was. Both had like soundtracks, just killer soundtracks.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
And then the Star Wars Battlefronts are so perfect. And that's one of the reasons that I really think Nintendo is my only way forward, like with video games anymore, because you know, I never had my own console. Well, I mean, I did eventually, but that wasn't a big part of gaming for me. It was always social with friends, and not like online and stuff. And like, I get why people are into that 100%, but like
in the room.
That's the only context in which I really game anymore at all. And I love that Nintendo is still coming out with games specifically for that.
Which brings us to Rock Band. The greatest.
Oh, man.
And how I learned to play the drums and how I learned about rock music, because my parents didn't listen to music. I wasn't allowed to listen to headphones in the house ever. Okay. And we grew up in a Christian household. My God. They rock.
What is happening?
New Zoom update.
Come on.
Well, it just doesn't like you as much as it likes me. So, yeah, my parents only listened to Christian songs. There was like three songs on my dad's Android. And so the only way I know any music that existed ever is from that video game.
Wow.
Okay.
She's not lying.
That's awesome.
I remember Rock Band. I remember, so in my old rehearsal studio that was down the hall from his rehearsal studio, there were lost months. Like we were writing for a record.
Right.
And then Rock Band came out. I think it was like Rock Band 2.
Yeah.
And the Tom Morello level came up.
Oh.
Yep.
And we lost months.
Yes.
Because of that.
I remember my band was like, one member of my band was like, yo, they have a game system in their room. We should get a game system in our room. And I was like, there's no fucking way.
Yeah.
No. Game system.
That was the biggest mistake ever.
That's not happening.
Like, it was great band bonding time, but productivity, down it went.
You know what's funny for me about those games, though, is, so, like I said, I've only really been playing guitar for a little bit now. And so I had figured, in the last apartment that I was in, I had a few different roommates, and we all got all of our consoles together, and turned out, my friend Matt still had his, the original Guitar Hero guitars for PlayStation. So we got to play the games. I figured, wow, this is probably gonna be a lot easier now that I can actually play guitar.
Nope.
No, completely different set of skills. I'm not a slouch, but you're never gonna see me you know, even completing Through the Fire and the Flames on Harder Expert.
I sucked at Guitar Hero. Guitar playing in general on games like that, because I was like, I can't,
my
brain just doesn't do it. I can do drums and I can sing on it. Mm-hmm. You put me on the guitar and I'm like, what? I can't wait. No, but this doesn't go here. This isn't where this is.
When there's I don't know. My brain works.
Rocksmith, right? Rocksmith, you can use a real guitar with.
Yeah. I got that in high school before I even played, just cause I wanted to start playing. And didn't really get into it. So I wonder what that would be like now, but I almost just wouldn't really care.
Yeah.
Right.
To go back to it now, I would just play along with the real song.
Right. Yeah.
before we sign off here, cause Sawyer's obviously the talkative one of this band.
Yeah.
Sawyer, top two must see TV shows.
Oof. That's a good
beginning question. To end.
I really like Glow Up. It's like a makeup show.
I feel like that surprised Courtney for some reason.
Yeah.
It's like a BBC makeup competition, makeup artist competition.
Right.
Or is it
someone?
That was you.
So, I don't know. It just was interesting. And it's kind of like I don't know. The way they like eliminated people was cool. Like the whole show was just fun.
Very well done.
And other one. Man, Courtney would probably.
Mm-mm.
Which one do I like, Courtney?
I'm not giving it up.
Like a scripted series kind of thing.
I want to say like the stuff that we're watching now is always like the most interesting, but I know there's better ones. But we're watching Halo right now.
Okay.
Okay.
So good.
And like it came out in like 2020, the first season, I think, 2021. And like I didn't know about it at all. And then they just are releasing like some new series right now. And it's so good.
I heard the new series is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Nice. I'll have to check that out.
Awesome.
So each of you say one nice thing about the other two.
Mm.
So Ian, go first. Say something nice about both of your bandmates.
Yeah, okay. Sawyer is just a wizard at anything that he puts his mind to. And so it's been really crazy seeing how, like, as different pieces come up, sort of different challenges get in our way as we continue to try and sort of elevate what we're doing. Like the way that he just kind of all of a sudden absorbs everything and just tackles it in like a day or two is crazy. And then with Court, like she just has such a, I don't understand how it works in her head, but to me from the outside, it looks like she can just like break something down and see it so clearly, even when like we can't, that like she just has a way of like getting us places that is sort of incomprehensible. But it's like, I know that there's a method to it. I've not questioned that. But yeah, I don't know. This vision, I guess, it's crazy.
All right, Courtney, your turn.
Mine will probably be more brief. Ian is the one who brings the positivity and the energy and the extrovertedness. So when we need to send someone up to schmooze the sound guy or what have you, that's Ian.
Nice. That's an important role.
That's a big role.
That's a big one.
Yeah. I tend to be more on the negative side. So Ian's positivity is absolutely needed and necessary in the band, and would not be here without him. And Sawyer is, like Ian said, he's just a sponge. And so every time we come back from a session, his production skills level up like 100-fold. And I can say, like, can we make this song sound like Neck Deep's new record that just came out mixed with like Avril vibes from like 2003? And he can just like, and like, it just happens.
Nice.
So he's just like a magical wizard of, and a bank of information and knowledge. And it comes from this true passion for it, which I just don't have. I'm like way too lazy and unmotivated to learn anything, which is why I love being a singer now. It's so much easier.
So, I brought my microphone.
Yeah, exactly. And my voice box. I can't forget that.
Sawyer's, I warmed up.
Yeah, he's a machine and he works so hard, and then he never expects anything in return and doesn't really complain, and he's just like happy to be there. It's just insane. Like, he just works very hard and is such a humble guy about it.
Bass players are mostly happy to be there.
Mm-hmm. This is just true. He truly found his calling in playing bass. Yes. I'm so happy.
Well, that was super short.
See, he doesn't say a lot, but when he does,
Dan.
Sawyer, what about you?
Ian, I really respect. I respect a lot of what Ian does. Like, he's very technical and very. He's just a very you're a detailed person, and I just really admire that. And I'm not that at all. So, that's very helpful, specifically in this band for sure. And Courtney's just like a leader. She is just the one that pushes everything and is always thinking about the future and, briefing the past and and all that. So, yeah, Corny's just our foundation for sure.
Hmm. Awesome.
Nice.
Well, guys, before we head out, let everybody know where they can listen to everything definitely maybe, and hopefully by the time this comes out, we got an EP release date.
Yeah.
Yes. What, do you know when this comes out? Because I want to share something, but depending on the release date, I can't.
You let everybody know where to find you, and we will find when this comes out.
Yes. TikTok always, Instagram always, and then our website, definitely maybeband.com. That's where you can find all of our shows and things. We also have a link tree in all of our social media bios where you can find everything. And we're streaming everywhere. So find us in your preferred platform.
Yeah. And by the way, everybody, in case you didn't know, mm-hmm. if you're listening to this in the morning, live the first day it drops, it is March 25th.
That is today. Right.
March 25th.
Yeah,
happy March 25th. Indeed.
Almost 2 weeks away. Yeah.
And everybody, definitely go check out the video for Are We Having Fun Yet?
Yes.
It is a fun video. Lots of pink.
Lots of pink. We love pink. Mm-hmm. And love since pink. It's March 25th, you will already know this, but come see us on tour if you are in the Midwest or the East Coast.
Nice. Wait, East Coast.
Yeah, dude, we got 2 New York dates. I think we'll be in Albany and then 2 New York City dates. 2 TBD New York City dates.
TBD.
It's still not all ironed out, but we'll be supporting 408 alongside a band called Telltale and a bunch of other sick artists.
We had Telltale on the show a while back.
Yep,
good dude.
Wow. We're excited to meet them and hang out.
So they will know when you gnome them.
Yes.
He'll know.
We will talk to them. We're pumped. So yeah, Midwest, East Coast.
And our first international shows.
Yeah, and Canada, Montreal, Toronto. So
sweet.
Awesome. Check out those dates on our socials. We're super pumped. Our first tour.
Yeah.
Congrats, guys. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Very, very cool.
When you're in New York, hopefully it's an evening we can get out to to come support.
Yeah, we'd love to come support and come check it out. Okay. So yeah, everybody that's listening, thank you once again for checking out Definitely Maybe. Thank you guys for being here. We appreciate you and appreciate your time very much. You're always welcome to come back at any time. And once again, everybody listen, remember to ask yourselves that one important question. Right? Mm. We've answered it a few times here. What is that thing for you that makes your day better? What is that thing for you that gets your mind off things or puts your mind on better things or just helps you bring a smile to that face?
I'm not going to answer it because it looks like Ian wants to answer it.
Oh, no.
Or ask the question.
Do you remember the question?
No, I thought you were going to say, are we having fun yet?
No, I was going to say, what's the bacon?
What's your bacon?
What's
that's
your
right.
Bacon? And you know what? We are having fun.
Yeah.
Hey.
Definitely maybe.
Were you having fun?
I was having fun yet.
Were I you definitely fun was. Yet? Definitely maybe. Definitely, definitely.
Definitely, definitely.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah. Go check them out. Their music is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Hey,
they're super cool for such a young band too.
Right, 2 years. Well, the past few bands that we've were artists that we've had.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, I've been doing this for 2 years. And it's, like to me, I'm like, oh, what if I've been doing this for 20 years. What is wrong with me?
Yeah, I get some of that too. Yeah. I was like, what was I doing 2 years in? But you know what? I was touring and putting a record out.
Oh. Yeah. I was playing out a lot.
Yeah. So see, we're all right. We're just older now.
Yeah. Good call. Good call. Yeah. Way to spin it.
See, it still works.
Yeah.
We're still okay.
Yeah. But go check them out. Go check them out on tour. They're going out on tour. So if they're coming to the New York area. Cool. Hopefully we can see you there.
Yeah, on tour with Telltale. So
and 408, 409.
I didn't say it because I couldn't remember which one.
Yeah, it's 409. No, 409 is a cleaner. 408. It's definitely 408 because we were supposed to have them on the show.
Definitely maybe. But 408.
Yeah, definitely maybe 408. But don't, dude, just look for definitely maybe.
Look it up.
Look for Telltale. Look for their tour dates. Go check them out.
Go
buy some merch.
Bring them a gnome.
Bring them a gnome.
Buy merch. Put down a gnome.
Or.
And be like, this is as good as money.
Get them a gas card.
And then give them real money.
Get them a gas card.
Yeah.
That's another thing you could do.
That is another thing.
So
they'll appreciate those gas cards going on tour now.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll be like, maybe these aren't bad gifts.
Exactly.
Pretty great gifts.
Exactly. Exactly.
Either way, support them. Just go listen to their music. Just go check them out. Check them out on Spotify, where you can also find Bacon Is My Podcast, if you're not listening to us there right now. But you can also, if you are listening to this right now, check out Bacon Is My Passion, which is music from us, also on Spotify. There. It is there as
and
well.
And Apple Music.
All you got to do is change a few letters, and you're there. Yeah. If you just put Bacon Is My P, they'll both pop up.
I've done it before.
I have as well.
It happens.
I have as well.
It's a thing.
So, yeah, definitely check that out. Where else can they find stuff?
Stuff you can find at baconismypodcast.com. That's where you can... It's like the portal, if you will.
Yeah.
The porthole. Yeah. Porthole to everything,
indeed.
Right?
Indeed.
So it's the portal to our music, deals from our sponsors, our awesome sponsors.
Special savings.
Such as Manscaped, Grill Your Ass Off, Drink Wild Bills. We've got a whole bunch of them, so go ahead, go check them out.
Shave your balls, have a barbecue, cheers some sodas.
Exactly. There's other deals up there too, so
yeah.
And I can't think of them off the top of our head, but we'll always get you the best deals you can possibly get on those sites. Go to baconismypodcast.com.
Absolutely.
Look at the sponsors page. Also, you can check out our Patreon, right? So our Patreon is, if this is just not enough for you.
That's right.
And you want just a little bit of extra.
Because we do a lot more.
We do a lot more over at the Patreon. We do tastings. We do cooking shows. We do watch-alongs.
Every week.
Every week we do our discussion and drinks episode live.
Yeah, you can join us.
And you can join us
episode.
And participate.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a little bit beforehand banter, a little bit after banter.
Yeah.
But no matter what, you can always participate in those episodes. Sound off on Bacon Is My Podcast Patreon, which is at patreon.com/baconismypodcast.
You changed it again.
No, I didn't change it. I know you think I change it every week.
Change
but if you listen to the end of this every week, you'll notice that I didn't change it. Also, listen, if you made it this far, please give us a 5-star review.
Yeah,
give
if you
us
made
a
it this far and you haven't done any of that stuff yet,
right?
Come on, just a thumbs up, 5-star.
It literally costs you zero and helps us immensely.
Yeah.
So please, thank you.
And if you've already done that, go over to baconismypodcast.com, buy yourself a t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
Get yourself a little swag.
Some swag.
Get a little swag bag.
Swag's going.
From Bacon Is My Podcast, and take a picture of yourself, hashtag what's your bacon, and we'll post it up on the site or something, or maybe we'll even feature it on the show. We'll do one every once in a while. We want to see your bimpware in the wild.
Mm. Indeed, indeed. We also have our own things going on. So where can they find you
we
and
do.
Your things?
Jimmy G Shoes is the way to find me. That's where you can find that's the porthole for all my junk and stuff. My band Craving Strange is at cravingstrange.net. That's where you can find everything about the band. You can find out all of our socials, where you can check on us and see when we're playing, when we're releasing stuff. Lots of stuff coming up. So yeah, keep track of us there. Thank you very much. If you've checked it out, let me know what you think, either at one of those sites or socials, or even at Bacon Is My Podcast. Let me know what you think and all that kind of stuff. How about you, bud?
Me personally, I am at me, my own self, Mike. That's where you can find my personal goings on. I am also at Something Heavy Music, which is my band, which I write music and stuff for, and release some music from time to time. We're working on some stuff. We're doing some things. We're making some moves. Promise, in the next couple of months, we're going to be releasing a whole bunch of stuff.
Nice. I'm excited. I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah. So, yeah, you made it. That's it. This is the end of the show.
Good job.
Wow.
You did it. You did it!
I promise you, there won't be an after credit scene.
No.
We could throw a commercial up, though. You want to throw a commercial up after?
Sure.
I'm going to throw a commercial
up. People will definitely stay
if you want to hang out.
After credits for a commercial.
Right.
That makes total sense.
It'll be like the super special after credit scene.
Yeah. Have you tried shawarma?
Shawarma. Or shawarma 2. Yeah. Shawarma Place 2. T-O-O.
T-O-O.
Yeah. Shout out California Adventure.
Haven't tried shawarma, but I'll tell you what. I do know what my bacon is. But remember to ask yourselves every single day.
What's your bacon?
What's yours? Well, peace.